Hello and welcome to Carey Baptist here in Moulton with me and Jodie. Happy Easter. Last Sunday we didn't have a recording because we had a family service and there was lots of different components. Would have made it a bit more tricksome. But it's good to be back with you on the second Sunday of Easter. So let's commit this time to prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather together in our homes, listening online, we pray that your Holy Spirit would touch and inspire us, that you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our reading is the familiar story of the road to Emmaus from Luke 24:13-35. Luke 24:13-35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in the last few days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. So they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Let us pray. Lord, help us as we reflect upon this familiar story on the road to Emmaus, and may it become a living reality for us today on our different roads. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's the second Sunday of Easter. We have this familiar story of the Emmaus Road, and we're starting a series next week on how to hear God, based on Pete Gregg, who's one of the co-founders of the 24/7 prayer movement. He has a book called How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People. And it's based on the Emmaus Road story, but ranges widely on different ways we can hear from God and seek to discern his voice. And I would hazard a guess that all of us, myself included, could use some help about how to hear from God. On that first Easter day, perhaps it was late afternoon, we have the two disciples here on the road to Emmaus. There's been speculation about who these two disciples were. But Tom Wright, a New Testament scholar, hazards this, I guess, that it may well be Clopas, because Cleopas and Clopas are the same, more or less. And his wife, Mary, who's meant... who's mentioned in John 19:25. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So Tom Wright, as an educated guest, says it could well be Clopas or Cleopas and his wife, Mary. I quite like that idea of it being a married couple returning home. So we'll take that. I'll go with that guess. It may have been two men or it may have been a married couple, but I quite like the idea of a married couple. Whether or not it's true, we'll journey with that one. And they're traveling home to Emmaus, a little village about 7 miles from Jerusalem, which has been notoriously difficult to track down. There's lots and lots of different places where they think Emmaus may have been, but we know that there was a place called Emmaus, and it's mentioned in the Maccabees, actually. There's a big rebellion in Emmaus against the Gentile rulers at the time. So they're traveling back to the village, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's a bit like Moulton. We're about 5 miles from the centre of Northampton. So a couple extra miles, maybe it's a bit like walking from Northampton to Walgrave or Pittsford or something like that. So it's, you know, it's doable, but it would take a few hours, especially if you were feeling down and depressed and disappointed and probably weren't walking that fast if you were in that frame of mind. We have the two disciples walking home to Emmaus, Cleopas and Mary, and they're talking and processing everything that has happened to them in recent days. It says they were discussing together. Actually, the Greek talks about it as if they were arguing with each other. So they're arguing about the significance of what's actually happened in the last few days. And Jesus comes along and walks with them. Jesus walks alongside us too, often unrecognized, as he was unrecognized by these disciples at first. It's good to know that we are not alone on our journey through life. It's an encouraging reality, even if it feels like we are on our own at times, but that Jesus travels with us as he traveled with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then Jesus enters into discussion with them, feigning ignorance. He gets them to open up. He says, what are you discussing together as you walk along? So he gets them to open up about their situation. And it says in 17, same verse, they stood still, their faces downcast. Downcast is perhaps an understatement. They're devastated. They're looking down. They're super sad. And sometimes we feel like this in the midst of bereavement. In our congregation, in the last couple of weeks, we've had 3 deaths of people associated with our congregation. So we know that bereavement, and some of the family members know it keenly at this time. But also disappointment here. They have the death of their hopes and their dreams. They thought Jesus was going to be their Messiah and a liberator, and he's ended up dead. And for us, the last 2 years have robbed us of many things, and we may feel downcast and lacking in hope. Personally, maybe church-wise, we look around, we see lower numbers, we see people that we've lost, lack of volunteers, everything seems like a struggle. And in the wider society, with rising energy bills and cost of living and anxiety about how to make ends meet. And then you've got the news of the situation in the Ukraine, the war there. Never mind the global issue of climate change. There's plenty of reasons to be downcast at the moment. But back to the story. We have a playful Jesus here who sort of plays with them and asks them in verse 19, what things? I think he maybe had a grin on his face when he said, what are these things you're talking about? And then they tell him about himself, irony of ironies, really, how they'd hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel and set them free. And then they tell them about the rumors of the empty tomb and the vision of angels. But obviously they haven't taken any of this seriously. Otherwise, why would they be going home if they thought he really had been raised from the dead? And then Jesus upbraids them quite strongly in verse 25 when he says to them, "How foolish you are, how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Well, was it obvious that the Messiah had to suffer, a suffering Messiah? They didn't really expect a suffering Messiah. They expected a victorious Messiah who would kick out the Romans and reestablish their independence and freedom. So I can't really blame them. I don't think they expected a suffering Messiah until the Messiah came, who was a suffering Messiah. And then it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." It's a bit of a shame here we don't have more information of the Bible study here as Jesus goes through the Old Testament as we would understand it, and the text or the themes that point to him. We see the importance of the Bible for the Old Testament, especially to set everything in context. And starting next week, we'll be starting some home groups, doing a Bible Society course on the Bible, looking at its overarching narrative and how we understand it all fitting together. And this is something that's important for us. Then on their journey, they arrive home in verse 28. And it looks as if Jesus is going to continue on the journey, but they urge him to stay. There's a principle here that Jesus needs to be invited into our lives, invited into our homes, invited into the decisions that we make. And then in their home, Jesus sits at the table and he takes on the role of host and breaks the bread, which is a strange thing for a visitor to do. Normally, the head of the household, which would be a man in those situations, usually would take the bread and do the blessing and give it to the guest. But Jesus, the guest, becomes the host. And then in this action of breaking the bread, we don't know exactly how or why, but their eyes are opened and they recognized who he is. But at the moment of recognition, he disappears. So Jesus becomes the host at this meal, this ordinary meal, which also has echoes of communion. Reminds me of during Holy Week on Monday, Thursday, where we had a meal together and we celebrated communion. As I was celebrating communion, I had a strong sense of God's presence in the midst of us. And Jesus is in our midst as we eat and as we remember him together. It's important that we are aware of this, of his presence in our midst when we celebrate communion and even when we have ordinary meals together. And then as Jesus disappeared, they ask each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened up the scriptures?" So they look back in a retrospective way. They recognize how their hearts were stirred by what Jesus said to them when he opened the scriptures to them. And likewise, when we look back on our lives, sometimes it's easier to recognize God's presence. And that's why things like doing the exam at the end of the day, when you reflect back on the day to notice how God has been active in your lives, can be a helpful practice. But we have here in the opening of the scriptures that he speaks to them and he speaks to us. And that's the importance of having daily Bible reading and reflection ourselves and doing it in groups, reflecting on the scriptures together as we open them together, that he speaks to us in and through them. So looking back on the story of Emmaus here, we can see that Jesus walks with us on our journeys and he makes himself known to us in the opening of the scriptures. And when we share bread together, when we share meals together, when we share Holy Communion together. And may we hear his voice as we do these things in the coming days and weeks and months, as we break open the scriptures together, open the scriptures together as we share bread together. May we hear from him as he speaks to us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that in this story of the road to Emmaus, it speaks to us today that you journey with us. That you, Jesus, still open the scriptures to us. That you make yourself known to us as we break bread and remember you. We pray that you would reveal to us your presence and your voice through your word and through the times when we remember you and celebrate communion together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Jesus, you said to those first disciples, "What is it you are debating as you walk?" Companion God, we are debating the news, the conflict in Ukraine, the disasters that we see in many places, the famines in parts of Africa, the local news, accidents or crimes committed. We are debating the news, wondering why these things have to be. Companion God, open our eyes to see you among the suffering of our world. Open our eyes to see Christ's risen presence wherever love overcomes hatred, hope overcomes despair, and faith challenges death. Open our lives to Christ's risen power that we may walk the way of love with you. What is it you're debating as you walk? Companion God, we are sharing sad news about people we know, those who are ill, who we remember now. Those who have been bereaved. Those anxious about themselves or loved ones. We are sharing sad news, wondering why these things have to be. Companion God, open our eyes to see you alongside those whose lives are burdened, painful, fearful, or sad. Open our eyes to see Christ's risen presence, comforting, encouraging, calming, and sharing their loads. Open our lives to Christ's risen power that we may walk the way of love with you. What is it you are debating as you walk? Companion God, we are debating the good news of Christ's life and death and resurrection, of the undying nature of your love for us, and of your offer of life in all its fullness. Help us to share this good news with those with whom we walk along life's paths, that together we may all walk with you. Amen. Close with a blessing, an Easter blessing. Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Set out then on a new life with Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this Easter and always. Amen. Go well and God bless.